in Chicago's famous Hotel Sherman, we invite your family to join the millions of families from coast to coast and listen to America's favorites, Don McNeil and his Breakfast Club. And here is your Toastmaster, Don McNeil.
Good morning, Breakfast Clubbers. Good morning to you. Welcome back, Carolyn. Hallelujah. This first call to breakfast for all of you out there.
America, wake the Breakfast Club is on the air.
Okay, all together now. Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas!
Well, I know what you're saying. McNeil has flipped his lid again. But no, there is a reason for this Yuletide greeting that we have today. This portion of the Breakfast Club is being taped for the Armed Forces Radio Network to be heard all over the world on Christmas morning. And, They may record the whole show, actually, and then chop it down to a half hour. They like to do their Christmas chopping early. And actually, we know that it's only Friday, September 2nd. But when you stop to think of it, it's not bad celebrating Christmas now. The stores aren't as crowded, you know, and there's no waiting at the post office. And it gives you a chance to say thank you by sending notes for the gifts that you got last year. So you'll be on this year's list, you know. And Christmas music is good, too. It's too good to be heard only once a year, so you're going to hear a lot of it this morning. At 1 minute and a half past the hour. This is Christmas morning when this program is being heard around the world on the Armed Forces Radio Network. As I mentioned, it's actually 4 months earlier as we taped the broadcast, so I'm going to do a little predicting. See how my predictions come out when Christmas morning is actually here and you hear this show. Last year, I said that the upcoming Rose Bowl game would be between Purdue and Oregon State, and you may recall it turned out to be Washington and Wisconsin. Also, last year, I predicted that the White Sox would beat the Yanks or would beat the Giants in 7 games for the World Series, and it wound up with the Dodgers beating the White Sox in 6 games. So you can see I was pretty close there.
Yeah.
All right, here we go for this year. All right, it's Christmas morning, 1960. It is not a white Christmas. In fact, we've had very little snow this December, lots of rain, and it's been warmer than usual. And a week from today, the University of Washington will be playing Northwestern University in the Rose Bowl. Northwestern edged out Illinois and Kansas for the honor of representing the East. And I guess you all know that the World Series was played between Pittsburgh and Baltimore, with Pittsburgh winning in 6 games. It was a big presidential campaign year. There was a big turnout at the polls. And as you know, the outcome was close. And, of course, the man who will be inaugurated next month is... Well, you all know how that one came out. I'll go just so far with you.
Sure.
One thing I can say with safety, Christmas fell on Sunday this year, so we're celebrating on Monday. Of that, I'm sure. So here's the Christmas song with Dick Noel.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe. Help to make the season bright. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard to sleep tonight. They know that Santa's on his way. He's loaded lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh. And every mother's child is gonna smile to see if reindeer really know how to fly. And so I'm offering this simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas, everybody. That's there. The singer with a perfect name for Christmas, Dick Noel. You know, Dick has been doing his beatnik version of the classics for us, and you can hear the Christmas ornaments in the background. I remember one sent by our Cincinnati station, WLW, a couple of years back. It's called A Very Hip Night Before Christmas. Dick Noel.
I got it.
All right.
'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the pad, not a hip cat was swinging, and that's nowhere dead. The stove was hung up in that stocking routine in hopes that the fat man would soon make the scene. Now the kids had all had it, so they hit their sacks, and me and the bride had begun to relax. When there started a rumble that came as real frantic, so I opened the window to figure the panic. I saw a square short that was making fat tracks being pulled by 8 dogs who were wearing hat racks. And a funny old geezer was flipping his lid, and he told them to make it, and man, like they did. I couldn't help digging the scene on the roof as I stood there just waiting for Chubby to goof. They stood by the chimney in bunches and clusters till Tubby slid down, coming on like gangbusters. Now, his threads were the squarest, and I had to chuckle. In front, not in back, was his Ivy League buckle. That mop on his chin hit his butted nose, man. He looked like a baller. Like he was the squarest, the most airs when he left all that loot. He laid the jazz on me and fled from the gig, wailing, have a cool duel, and man later, like, dig.
Man, like, that was cool, man.
Oh, like, wow.
It was
like,
crazy, wow. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, for you fellas throughout the world in the armed forces who are listening to this on Christmas morning, you'll be happy to know that Lorraine Peters is our special guest gal singer today. And you ought to appreciate this, having been at some of these service camps throughout the world, Lorraine.
Yes, when I was with the band, we made a tour.
That was Ray McKinley.
Ray McKinley and the Glenn Miller Band. We toured over there in France and Germany and England and Morocco and Tripoli. And we played the Army Air Force bases.
Well, you have an idea now how the boys might be clustered around the radios listening, huh?
Oh, yes. Just to hear, something from home means so much.
Well, how about you doing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer for him? All right. Lorraine Peters.
You know Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen, Comet and Cupid and Donner and Blitzen. But do you recall the most famous reindeer of all? The Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny nose. And if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows. All of the other reindeers used to laugh and call him names. shouted out with glee. Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer, you go down in history.
Thank you, Lorraine. Now, I thought it might be interesting today to interview a street corner Santa Claus. So we have one here today. Tell us, a street corner Santa Claus, does it require much training to be a street corner Santa Claus?
Well, I have to keep my arm in shape to ring that bell all day.
I see, yes. How did you develop such a strong right arm?
I ran a crap game in the army.
I see. what made you give it up?
Well, one day I made 7 the hard way.
Made 7 the hard way? How was that?
3.5
Well, I guess being a corner Santa Claus is easier than, I mean, climbing down rooftops and sliding down chimneys.
Oh, I used to do that, too.
Oh, it's probably very tiresome having to handle that big bag, too.
I don't pay attention to her.
Let's get back to your present job, standing on the corner. Ring that little bell, keeping the pot boiling.
Well, that's why I'm quitting this year. The other day I was standing on the corner ringing my bell, and a little boy gave me a hot foot.
Oh, how awful. What happened?
My pants caught on fire.
And were you burned very badly?
No, but my pot was boiling.
Well, that was appreciated by the Summer School of Catholic Action folks who were meeting here.
I got it.
Well, at least the veterans of the 334th Engineers who are having a reunion today in the studio didn't seem to mind it here at the Sherman Hotel. Or the housewives or students or pharmacists or teachers or salesmen or bankers or pilots and last-minute vacationers who are with us today. You stick around because I wouldn't be surprised if when Aunt Fanny would drop in for a visit with all you boys throughout the world. And that'll happen in just a few minutes. Right now it's 13 past the hour.
Is coming to you from the College Inn Porterhouse of the Hotel Sherman in Chicago.
It's second call's breakfast, a happy how to do. We wish a happy cheery day to you and you and you.
Well, as you know, heat causes things to expand and cold causes them to contract. Now, if you want proof, you can notice the days are much shorter in the winter than they are in the summer, and that proves it. And we're doing the...
Oh, no, wait.
Just threw that out for what it's worth. I could have thrown it out, I see that. But that's why we're doing the Christmas show on the Breakfast Club in September. And we picked a wonderful time with the temperatures up in the mid-90s here. So the more Christmassy we can feel, the better we like it at 16 minutes past the hour.
Thank you.
Christmas songs may come and Christmas songs may go, but the old favorites will live on together forever, that's for sure. So we're going to ask all the people who are assembled here in the Porterhouse Room of the Sherman this morning to join us, and you, wherever you are, in Silent Night. Each in his own words, each in his own way, for a world united in peace. Let us bow our heads and pray. Memory time on this Christmas morning. From Sunshine Magazine, Lucille Langston's little thought about Christmas. Christmas stretches further than our love for one another. It reaches out to every man and makes each one our brother. For Christmas is God's shining love expressed in human birth to make us, as in heaven above, one family here on earth. And so for our family, including you boys, you and your own families at home can listen to this at the same time and enjoy it. A visit from our old friend Aunt Fanny that I promised you.
Happy Holly Berry to you. Your calendar's kind of slipped the cog again, ain't it?
Yes, but not for those
Christmas
boys.
Christmas in September.
Yes.
That's all right with me. I say if you can't get ahead of the Russians one way, do it another.
They invented the calendar,
I'm kind of sorry, though, that you've done this.
Oh?
Because now and then he'll start asking me, what are you going to get me for Christmas? And she'll finally get on it so bad that I'll say, none of your blame business.
Yes.
And if you wasn't such a good friend, I wouldn't tell you that much. But I don't care. You want Ed one?
What?
He wants one of them little bitty, tiny foreign cars.
For Christmas?
Yes.
Does
that's
he?
What he'd like to have, yes. He loves them. I can't stand them.
Can't you?
Well, no, Jing. It's like getting into a vest to get into the things, you know.
Yeah.
You're just all cramped up there. But you can get twice as many in a traffic jam, I guess.
Yes,
there you
can.
Go.
Lots of them.
Nettie would like to have a tape recorder.
Oh.
Yes, because she's getting to where, you know, she hears everything, and she can't remember it.
Oh.
So she'd like to put it down. She goes to beauty shop twice a week. She's a great one to get beauty treatments, you know.
She likes to take
it. Yeah, she gets a face full of mud and an ear full of dirt at the same time.
She wants your tape.
Oh,
because
she's such a good woman.
Yes.
No, I don't like to talk about her, you know. She's always trying to make you feel at home, you know, when you come to her house.
Uh-huh.
Which is kind of crazy, because if you wanted to feel at home, you'd have stayed there.
Well, sure, in the first place, yeah.
Does it make sense?
Yes.
And she's always talking about health foods, brain foods, you know, and all that kind of stuff. Fish, you know, she says it's a great brain food.
I've heard that.
Have you heard that?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it holds up.
Don't you?
No, I've knew people to eat fish all day Friday and then go out the next day and do the silliest things in the whole world.
Is that so?
It's like people, though, I guess, that sows wild oats all week and then goes to church on Sunday and hopes for a crop failure. I don't know. Anyway, well, it doesn't make any difference.
No.
But now, do I get this straight? They don't hear this wonderful, great big show of yours until Christmas morning?
This particular
this
one.
This particular one.
Is for Christmas morning.
Well, gee, I'd have time to knit up a pair of socks, wouldn't I?
Sure.
For Daddy's nephew, Throckmorton.
In the service, is he?
Yes, he's over there in Germany.
Oh.
I knit him a pair last year.
Uh-huh.
He never wore them.
Didn't he?
No, and I took a lot of pains with them, too.
Why do you suppose?
Oh, I don't know. Well, there was maybe a few knots here and there where the thread broke and I tied it, you know.
I see.
They was naughty, but they was nice.
Well, yes.
Of course. Them in for so long as I just get back to
them. I don't know.
And there was
a
hole
so long
in the
with this stuff. I don't know.
So he can get into them from either end.
Oh, open-toed job.
Wouldn't you like to have a pair of socks like that?
Well, sure I would.
Fella ought to be pretty bleam grateful to get a wonderful hand-knit job like that.
I would love a pair of socks.
Well, to heck with him, I'll knit them for you.
Oh, no, don't bother. Don't bother. Naughty, but nice. Wow.
You got a pair of socks coming, too.
Yeah, I guess so. Me and my big mouth. Well, I know that there are some people here who would like to say hello to any of you boys throughout the world. Any of you folks who are here this morning have sons or someone in the family who are in the armed forces right now overseas? Not overseas? Well, you might be listening anyway. Find out who that lady is, Dick.
Yes.
This would be Mrs.
Mrs. Ray Bossel.
From?
Sioux City, Iowa.
And you have a son?
Yes. My oldest son. He was 19 yesterday.
Where is he?
Right now he's stationed 60 miles north of Seattle at Oak Harbor.
Oh, well, this is September. By the time he hears this, he may be in Okinawa. Isn't that nice?
He could be.
Well, I'm sure that he'll have a Merry Christmas wherever he was, knowing Mom was thinking about him. Where's Patty Norton of Ardmore, Oklahoma? Right where? Hello there, Patty. Say, Patty.
I believe I'm supposed to go up there.
Yeah, I reckon you are. And I sure...
There's something right under here that I won't. I saw him put it under there. Sam, where'd you put that gun?
I'm not going to tell, but I get it later.
Yeah, Sam keeps hiding these things all the time. Patty, it's good to talk to you.
Thank you.
You have any friends in the service?
Yes, I have a daughter.
Good. What's she? What branch?
She is a recruit in the WAF, and she's stationed at Fort McClellan, Alabama.
Well, wonderful. I think she and everybody else might be interested in what you wrote here, a little poem about your visit, I'm sure the boys in the service would get a kick out of this. Supposing you read it for us.
You don't mean to tell me I'm going to have to read it.
Yes, I do mean to tell you.
Grits and gravy we've yet to find. At 6 tonight, we leave behind your city fair and all we've missed. But please don't let us leave unkissed.
Oh, it's beautiful, Father. Oh, beautiful.
Well,
Patty, I read your card and wrote a little reply to you. May I read it?
Yes.
So here's to you, Miss Patty Norton, because on your trip, you'll soon be starting. As close as I can come. Grits and gravy you will not get. You're too far north already yet. We'd like to kiss you before you roam. But our wives would kill us when we got home. So, bye.
Bye. Nice trip.
Well, speaking of the North and the South, where's Claudia McDowell, it looks like to me, from Shreveport, Louisiana? Oh, that's a friend of the lady I just talked to, I guess. She says, for 3 days, we've been outflanked, outmaneuvered, and attacked by surprise. Other instance where the North outsmarted the South. What's the matter, Claudia?
Well, for us represent Barm Journal. We came here to this meeting. We expected to take home all the prizes. I didn't win.
Didn't win?
No.
Those Yankees from the North did it?
Mm-hmm. The Yankees did.
Yankees won again?
Yes, sir.
Oh, my. Well?
That's all right.
Well, you don't.
We don't mind.
No.
We've had a good time.
Why, sure. After all, you can get down below that Mason-Dixon line.
Certainly.
Remember that Yankee line that did it to you.
That's right.
Yeah. Is it Claudia or Clonia?
Claudia.
Claudia.
Claudia, yes.
Yeah, well, nice to talk to you, Claudia, old kid.
Thank you.
You don't mind me calling me? Yeah, I didn't mean it.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
You know, I just now. You're the youngest old kid I've seen in some time.
Sure.
Yes. Thank you very much, Claudia. Nice to talk to you. Well, for any of you boys who think you might retire to California sometime, think a little while before you do. There's a retired fella, Al Leslie, from Hawthorne, Wisconsin. Where are you, Al? I don't know what he used to be. What did you used to be before you retired, Al?
I was on a highway.
On the highway, huh?
53.
Yeah, so he went out to California.
Yeah,
thought he'd take a look. wanted to see what a patio was like. You'd all heard about them so much, you know. Everybody says you can go to California and retire and sit on your patio. So he went to California to see what a patio was like. He says, what did I see? It was nothing but an umbrella on the rocks.
Correct.
Is that right?
Right.
Yeah, oh, sorry, old boy. I don't know what you expected to find, but that's all it is. Well, I want all of you now, before we leave these guys, in unison, to say Merry Christmas to them all, wherever they might be throughout the world. Just let them know we're thinking of them. So, let's say it. One, two, three.
Merry Christmas!
A special Christmas holiday presentation of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.